Live from the Christian Research Institute in Charlotte, North Carolina, you're listening to the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff. We're on the air because life and truth matter. Our mission is to equip you in truth with sound biblical teaching and spiritual discernment as a foundation for experiencing the authentic Christian life through fellowship with God and Christ. To join us on air with your question, dial 888-ASK-HANK, which translates to 888-275-4265. For more information, go online to equip.org. And now, here's your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy, and a reminder that you can also contact us via the mail at Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. Also, a reminder that the resource of the month is Immortal, How the Fear of Death Drives Us and What We Can Do About It by Clay Jones. And in the current edition of the Christian Research Journal, hot off the press, there's an article written by Clay Jones, which is extracted in part from Immortal. The article is titled Symbolic Immortality Projects. They can't save you. And the article starts out talking about how Christian philosopher and mathematician Blaise Pascal summed up the human condition in Pensées when he said, "Let us imagine a number of men in chains and all condemned to death, where some are killed each day in the sight of others, and those who remain see their own fate and that of their fellows, and wait their turn, looking at each other sorrowfully and without hope. It is an image of the condition of humanity." Well, today many philosophers and psychologists and anthropologists and sociologists agree that humans are desperately afraid of dying. If humans, said one group of psychology professors, if humans had an ongoing awareness of their vulnerability and mortality, they would be twitching blobs of biological protoplasm, completely perfused with anxiety and unable to effectively respond to the demands of their immediate surroundings. Well, the Bible affirms that very thing. In fact, in the book of Hebrews, St. Paul says, we are told that Jesus died to deliver all those who through fear of death were subject to lifelong slavery. And therefore, except for those who have a robust belief in eternal life through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the fear of death holds everyone in lifelong slavery. And so what's the fallback position? Well, oftentimes it's symbolic immortality projects, like having children, writing a book, creating a work of art, inventing a cure for cancer or COVID-19. They can all serve as symbolic immortality projects. When we do die, we will live on, it is thought, in the work that we have done and in the memories of the other people whose lives that we have been a part of. Of course, none of this is new. Plato long, long ago wrote that if we think of the ambition of men, we will marvel at their senselessness unless we consider how they arrived by the love of an immortality of fame. So people seek symbolic immortality in many ways. Think about some of those ways. Clay writes about them. Procreation. Albert Einstein once said that our death is not an end if we can live on in our children and the younger generation, for they are us. Our bodies are only wilted leaves, said Einstein on the Tree of Life. Another idea, added to procreation is creation. It's right up there with striving for immortality through procreation. The striving for immortality through creating something that will outlive you. Again, that would involve inventing a vaccine or painting a masterpiece and so on. Or heroism. That's another one. A former Marine, in telling about a Marine who jumped on a grenade and survived, said, "Anyone who has ever served in the armed forces has at times fantasized about performing a heroic deed and receiving a medal." You know what else is an attempt at heroism? Being a famous atheist and proclaiming to a world terrified by death that you can stare at death's jaws unafraid. Yet another, activism. Activism is another way to symbolically live on. And that, of course, explains why so many people aren't just concerned about promoting their cause, they're absolutely militant. Many causes are worth fighting for, but what often drives the activist's zeal is self-love. Another way, another symbolic immortality project, celebrity. And thus many strive for their 15 minutes of fame. You know, you've probably heard about the man with the longest fingernails, or the record holder for the most toilet seats broken by one's head, and all of that in a minute. See the desperation? And then there's infamy. The BTK killer, short for blind torture kill. He murdered at least 10 people, but he wasn't getting enough attention. So he sends a letter to a TV station complaining, "How many do I have to kill before I get my name in the paper or get some national attention?" These projects are evil and futile. There are many types of symbolic immortality projects. And Clay lays them all out in his book, Immortal, How the Fear of Death Drives Us and what we can do about it. And then, you know, there are other things like ancestor worship or genealogy resource, but they all fail. They all seek to make a name for oneself so that you can live on apart from the Creator. And that is idolatry. It fosters a profound selfishness. Also, if we do achieve symbolic immortality, if we become great before men and women, this engenders jealousy. Gore Vidal once said, "Whenever a friend succeeds, a little something inside me dies." This is why tabloid journalism succeeds. We like our stars just, well, taken down a notch. If there is no God who will one day judge us, who will give us the crown of life, then everything becomes subservient to our immortality projects. Symbolic immortality, however, is a far cry from the real deal, from the real thing. If there's no God, then what's the point? No matter how great our glory, it's only a postponement of oblivion. Again, if there is no God. There's an insightful quote that Clay Jones includes in the article. It's by the atheist Sam Harris, who acknowledges that there's no other story that you can tell someone who has just lost their daughter to cancer to make them feel good. You know, it is consoling, he writes, to believe that the daughter was just taken up with Jesus and that everyone is going to be reunited in a few short years. There's no replacement for that. And in a sense, he's sort of got his finger on the pulse of what Christianity teaches. Christianity promises us no less than everything that we could wish for, personal immortality and the salvation of our loved ones. Christianity's doctrine of salvation turns out to be stronger than death, turns out to be the true cure for the human condition. That true cure is eternal life in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. In fact, much, much more than that, because we are going to go in eternity from one glory to another. The article in the Christian Research Journal, it's insightful, it's a grabber. And again, if you're not subscribing, you can do so on the web at equip.org. And while you're there, be sure to get your copy of Immortal, How the Fear of Death Drives Us and What We Can Do About It. And as we go to break, I do want to say thank you to all of you who stand shoulder to shoulder with this ministry in the battle for life and truth. You are truly making a difference, not just for time, but also for eternity. So again, thank you. And when we come back from the break, we'll go to your phone calls. Here's the number to dial. You can dial that number right now, 888-ASK-HANK, numerically 888-275-4265.
Too often, we concentrate on the short time we have on Earth and ignore the reality that we're going to live forever. Clay Jones wrote the monumental book, Immortal, to ensure that you enjoy a life free from fear of death and focused on forever. To receive your copy of Immortal, How the Fear of Death Drives Us and What We Can Do About It, call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit us at equip.org. Don't go anywhere. We're coming right back with more answers from the Bible Answer Man. Are you the product of millions of years of unguided, purposeless, natural processes? Or are you created in the image of a loving God? Faced with the overwhelming scorn of evolutionary proselytizers, it can be hard to articulate the truth about God's creative work. And even among faithful Christians, many misconceptions linger. The Creation Answer Book by Hank Hanegraaff puts answers to the most hotly debated origins questions right at your fingertips, giving you clarity and understanding. Learn to articulate the truth about our origins clearly and compassionately when you request your copy of the Creation Answer Book, or listen to Hank's insightful answers with the unabridged audiobook version on CD. Receive your copy of the Creation Answer Book or the audiobook on CD from the Christian Research Institute when you call 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. The Christian Research Journal is CRI's award-winning magazine, combining eye-catching design with well-researched articles to equip believers in doctrine, defense, and discernment. The Christian Research Journal's primary commitment is to contend earnestly for the faith that was once for all delivered to the saints. In keeping with this commitment, the journal's mission is both evangelistic and pastoral, furthering the proclamation and defense of the historic gospel of Jesus Christ, and helping his followers distinguish between essential Christian doctrine and doctrine that is peripheral, aberrant, or heretical. In an age of subjectivism and moral relativism, may Christians ground their faith and values in the objective, reliable testimony of Holy Scripture. Start your subscription to the Christian Research Journal today. Call 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. That's equip.org.
Our mission at the Christian Research Institute is to equip followers of Christ to think and live Christianly. That entails knowing that our lives don't end at death and that we should live joyfully yet soberly in light of eternity, making Clay Jones's book, Immortal, crucially relevant. In Immortal, How the Fear of Death Drives Us and What We Can Do About It, Dr. Jones speaks of the glory that awaits us, not only in the intermediate state of life after death, but in our life after death, in the resurrection to eternal life, when Christ will transform our lowly bodies so that they will be like his glorious body. To receive your copy of Immortal, call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches, 888-7000-CRI, or visit us at equip.org.
Let's return to your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy, and we'll go right to the phone calls. The number to dial, 888-ASK-HANK. First up, Mary, listening in Cypress, Texas, on the web. Hi, Mary.
Hi, Hank. How are you?
I'm great. It is a pleasure to talk to you.
I have a question. Can a Christian be demon-controlled?
Well, we can certainly be impacted by demons. This is precisely why the Apostle Paul tells us to put on the full armor of God, because he said our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers of darkness, against the rulers, the authorities, the powers of this dark world, and the forces of evil in the heavenly realms. And therefore, he tells us to put on the full armor of God so that we can take our stand, and after we have done all, to stand. We also pray in the Lord's Prayer, the prayer that the Lord taught us to pray, that we would be delivered from the evil one. And not only from the evil one, but from the world, the flesh, and the devil. And again, we are delivered from this evil by putting on the full armor of God. So the impact of the devil and his fallen minions can be tremendous. And if we don't put on the full armor of God, then we're guaranteed victims. We're pawns, quite frankly, in a devil's scheme. But having said that, a Christian cannot be possessed by a demon. In fact, Christ himself precludes the possibility, and he uses the illustration of a house. You might recall that Jesus asked this question, how can anyone enter a strong man's house and carry off his possessions unless he first ties up the strong man? Well, in the case of a demon-possessed person, the strong man is obviously the devil. But in a spirit-indwelt believer, the strong man is God. So the force of the argument leads inexorably to the conclusion that in order for demons to possess a believer, they would first have to bind the one who occupies them, namely God himself, an impossibility. There's a second good argument, and that I think is equally airtight. It's found in the Gospel of John. And in the context, the Jews once again are accusing Jesus of being demon-possessed. But rather than circumvent their accusations, Jesus condescends to reach out to his accusers with, as usual, with reason. And the essence of his argument is this. Jesus says, I'm not possessed because I honor my Father. Well, the point here, of course, is impossible to miss. Being demon-possessed and honoring God are mutually exclusive. The two cannot be true at the same time. And one final argument in this regard is that Scripture does not contain a single credible example of a demonized believer. Instead, the consistent teaching of the Bible is that Christians cannot be controlled against their wills by demonic inhabitation. The principle is foolproof. If you're a follower of Christ, the King himself indwells you, and you can rest assured that the one that is in you is greater than the one that is in the world. So here's what I've said, Mary. On the one hand, it is certainly true that we have to put on the full armor of God because we can be directly impacted by the forces of evil. And if we don't put on the covering, we are not invincible. If we do put on the covering, we are invincible. So on the one hand, we have to protect ourselves against the devil's schemes, and the Bible gives us a way to do that. On the other hand, you don't want to go so far as to say that someone who is indwelt by the Holy Spirit would also be indwelt by a demon, because the Holy Spirit does not share the temple, your temple, with a demon.
I see. Thank you so much for answering my question, Hank. I really appreciate that.
You're welcome. My pleasure. Thank you so much for calling, Mary. Back to the phone lines. We'll talk to Paul in Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada, K-A-R-I. Hi, Paul.
Hi, Hank.
Hello.
My question is from, can you hear me?
Yeah.
Yeah, my question is from Romans chapter number 11.
Uh-huh.
Apostle Paul was talking about the grafting of the Gentiles because of the breaking away of the Jewish nation. And then he, in verse number 26, he said, and so all Israel will be saved. Now, the question is, did all Israel, does that imply, from your point of view, that irrespective of receiving or not receiving Jesus, all, as in globally, all Israel will be saved? John 1:12 says, as many as receiving, but then give it the power to become the sons of God. Now, but when Paul says all of them are going to be saved, does that preclude them from accepting Jesus as Lord and Savior?
No, of course not.
I'll listen to you on the radio.
Yeah, okay. Well, of course not. I mean, if you read the Apostle Paul in context, you could never come to that conclusion. What's going on here is a mystery which explains the unbelief of so many Jews. And the mystery which explains this is that the Gentiles are now being united to the remnant of the faithful Jews, and thus this body of believers together form true Israel. True Israel. So it's not all Israel will be saved, it's all true Israel will be saved. The emphasis in the right place, true Israel. And the mystery is that the Gentiles and the Jews have become one people. That's the mystery of the gospel. In fact, that is clearly communicated in places like Galatians. St. Paul calls those in Christ Jesus the Israel of God. In other words, we're talking about the true church. This true Israel is not based on biology or ancestry. It's based on faithfulness to God. And I love the way Paul describes this. It is so beautiful because, in fact, I should say not just St. Paul, but the whole of Scripture. The one chosen people who form one covenant community are beautifully symbolized by St. Paul in the book of Romans. How does he do that? Well, he symbolizes them as one cultivated olive tree. This is beautiful symbolism, because the tree symbolizes national Israel. Its branches symbolize those who believe. Its root symbolizes our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who is, according to Scripture, the root and the offspring of David. Natural branches broken off represent Jews who reject Jesus. Wild branches grafted in represent Gentiles who receive Jesus. And therefore, Paul comes to a conclusion. You might recall he says, not all who are descended from Israel are Israel, nor because they are his descendants are they all Abraham's children. Let me put that another way. It is not the natural children who are God's children, but is the children of the promise who are regarded as Abram's offspring. Now, again, that's not my conjecture. That's precisely what St. Paul says. So Jesus is the one genuine seed of Abraham, and all who are clothed in Christ, all, they constitute one congruent, chosen, covenant community connected by the cross. You know, I made that sentence up many, many years ago, and I alliterated it so people would remember it, so it would get stuck in their memory trace. All clothed, notice the C's, in Christ, constitute one congruent, chosen covenant community, connected by the cross. There's neither Jew nor Greek, slave nor free, male nor female. You're all one in Christ Jesus. If you belong to Christ, then you're Abraham's seed and an heir according to the promise. We're out of time for this edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Do remember Monday through Friday this time, your questions answered when you dial 888-ASK-HANK. Thanks for tuning in. Look forward to the next opportunity to interact.
Thank you for listening to the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff. Immortal by Clay Jones is about the fear of death, about how humans outside of Christ, and all too often even those in Christ, feebly try to manage that fear, and about how you, dear Christian, can overcome the fear of death through developing a robust appreciation of the glory that awaits all of us who trust in the Lord Jesus. To receive your copy of Immortal, How the Fear of Death Drives Us and What We Can Do About It, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches, 888-7000-CRI, or visit us at equip.org. You can also write CRI at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina 28271. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is funded solely by listeners like you. We're on the air because truth matters, and life matters more. Are you the product of millions of years of unguided, purposeless natural processes? Or are you created in the image of a loving God? Faced with the overwhelming scorn of evolutionary proselytizers, it can be hard to articulate the truth about God's creative work. And even among faithful Christians, many misconceptions linger. The Creation Answer Book by Hank Hanegraaff puts answers to the most hotly debated origins questions right at your fingertips, giving you clarity and understanding. Learn to articulate the truth about our origins clearly and compassionately when you request your copy of the Creation Answer Book, or listen to Hank's insightful answers with the unabridged audiobook version on CD. Receive your copy of the Creation Answer Book or the audiobook on CD from the Christian Research Institute when you call 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org.